Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal and administrative, and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Thursday, April 11th, and we are here trying to help you make better financial decisions, or at least understand the choices that lie in front of you. If you've got something that's going on, all you need to do is go to our website, jillonmoney.com, and click the Contact Us button. Don't forget to check the box if you want to join us on the air live. While you're on the website, don't forget you can sign up for the free weekly newsletter. You can buy my book, The Great Money Reset, and you can subscribe to all of our great stuff, including our YouTube show called Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. Let's get to some of your messages. This one is from Melissa, who writes, I heard your episode about intergenerational family issues, and I've got one for you. My husband, in his 40s, owns the family house in a city in California. His two younger brothers, in their 30s, live there along with his mother. She's in her 60s. They don't pay rent, just the mortgage directly. The house was purchased 20 years ago for $120,000. It's now worth over $500,000. This was a rent-to-own situation. The family grew up there. The house is in a poor neighborhood, and no one has been able to leave other than my husband. They all want to move someday, but they've been saying that for decades. Their payment for the mortgage is under $800 for the three of them, and there are no comparable rental situations. The weird part is this. The reason my husband owns this house is because that was the family's solution to immigration and credit issues. His parents are immigrants that were not able to purchase the home at that time, so they put the home in my husband's name when he was in his early 20s. He was the only one with credit, and the understanding was this was the family house and would always be there for anyone in the family. My husband doesn't think of it as his house, but his mother's house. That he owns the house is stressful for me because it's not well kept, and I'm not sure if we're responsible for that. It has some electrical issues. Their dad, when he was living, would do all the work himself, as well as other problems that the brother and mother just live with. Recently, a tree fell on one of their cars, and it was a tree on the property. I don't know if we're responsible for maintaining the yard better. We don't collect rent. We have nothing to do with the ownership. The mortgage is at 6.7%, and I wanted to refinance it a few years ago when it was under 3%. Everyone turned on that idea. Still scared, I think, that the mother's immigration status would cause a problem. So I haven't spoken up since. My philosophy has been to let them handle it themselves. If it were my house, I would take much better care of it and charge rent, but they don't want to do that at all. We're renters ourselves, with a small baby in a different city. We're working on our own finances, live modestly, but not in poverty like his family. And we're doing okay in that we can cover the cost of daycare and even have a small emergency fund. What are the pitfalls of this situation? Are we responsible for the upkeep of the house? My in-laws who are there don't think so, but legally, my husband seems to be on the hook. I want out. I just can't see a good solution. I'm worried about the day we try to sell the house, whenever that is, because I think we'll owe a lot of taxes and fees. Oof, Melissa, this is a rough one. So I think the first thing you should do is you should actually contact an attorney and just get a view on this. In my understanding that, you know, as long as you own the house, you also need to maintain insurance and you also need to pay the taxes that are due. So the real question is, if they are paying the mortgage directly, does that mortgage cover property taxes? And also, is there homeowner's insurance on the property that someone is paying for? That would cover a lot of your legal liability. In essence, I think this is a pretty impossible situation, mostly because unless your husband wants to take control of it and do something different, there may not be a lot of good ideas. I wonder, though, if you talk to an attorney, what it would mean if perhaps you could sell the home to the younger brothers who are in their 30s, right? You sell it to them and maybe you set up a plan where instead of paying the mortgage directly to the company, they pay it directly to you. Maybe that's some way that we could make this work. Anyway, I do think you need some legal guidance on this, and I am most certainly not a lawyer, much to my mother's chagrin. Okay, this is from Mark, who writes, I have a broker and she's doing just so-so. I purchased a $50,000 CD, but she didn't let me know that the firm was taking out fees for the service. Ouch. I had a local bank do the same thing for no fees. So I reckon they pulled a fast one. I don't know. Maybe they told you and you didn't hear it. I don't know. I don't want to say it's a fast one. Okay, let's move on back to this note. As of June, the CD will mature with a loss, even though it had a 5.25% stated interest rate. A loss? Seems odd to me. Okay, Mark goes on to say, would like to end this relationship and reinvest the $50,000. I'm 72 years old and will pass most, if not all, of my money onto my kids and grandkids. No outstanding debts. I've got 529s for the grandkids and $250,000 in low interest investments. Any advice? Well, first, I really would like to understand whether you actually lost money on a CD. That would be odd. But sure, just end the relationship, take the CD and reinvest it. If you want to have another CD, that's fine. Or if you want to put money into the 529 plans, that's fine. But sure, let's get out. Question from Virginia about giving money annual giving. You can give $18,000, Virginia, to anyone annually, and that's part of the gift tax allowance. If you're going to give more than $18,000 and you're a single person, then you're going to have to file a gift tax return. Doesn't mean you have to pay tax. You just are telling the government, I'm giving more than $18,000 and I'm using part of my benefit that would occur at my death. So keep that in mind. This is from Amy, who writes, I'm facing my first required minimum distribution this year without any withdrawal strategy planning. Seems I've been asleep at the wheel along with my 20 plus year CFP. Oh, goodness. Since receiving the required minimum distribution amount, I've read everything I can find on the subject. My takeaway is that it may be too late to make any significant change. A Roth conversion is a 5-year hold on your money, and close scrutiny is needed to avoid tax problems. Do you have any ideas, or am I stuck with an enormous RMD that has affected my income tax and will do nothing but grow larger every year? I'm angry and beyond embarrassed about this. Don't be embarrassed. This happens all the time. Angry I get, especially since you're working with a CFP. Well, the first question I guess I have, Amy, is that, you know, you're talking about an RMD, so you're probably 72, 73, 74. One question might be is, do you need the money to live on? That's a big question. Because if the answer is yes, then just deal with it, right? If the answer is you don't need all of the money that is part of your RMD, maybe you should use a qualified charitable distribution and take part of that RMD and direct it towards a charity. And in doing so, you'll help a charity out, but also the money will bypass you. So it'll go from the IRA account directly to the charity. And it counts towards your RMD, but if you don't need the money, it's a nice way to minimize the impact of that required distribution. But follow up, let us know more about what's going on, okay? So don't be so hard on yourself. Leslie writes, I'm 67 years old, I'm retired, I'm not married, but living with my partner who is also retired. My stepfather left me $50,000 in his will, which I should be receiving soon. My question is, what do I do with it? We're living off Social Security and both have pensions. The only debt I have is our mortgage, which we split $550 each. My partner has a car payment and some credit card debt. I have $200,000 in a traditional IRA, $150,000 in a Roth IRA. Should I help my partner with his debt? Should I put it all on the Roth? Not sure at my age what is best. Well, you can't put it in the Roth because you don't have earned income. You said that you are both actually retired. So it kind of depends. Look, do you feel like you want to help out your partner? That's a nice thing to do. That would be lovely to say, you know, pay off credit card debt and a car payment. I don't know how long you've been together and what's happening, but maybe that is a nice thing. But otherwise, what I would do is I would just put it into an investment account and keep it kind of nice and easy peasy. Maybe a bond index, a stock index, and set aside any money you think you're going to need in the next couple of years so that you have that available to you. Okay. This is from Craig, who writes, I'm looking at consolidating mutual funds and moving them into a retirement target date fund. It appears to have a reasonable expense ratio, 0.24%. However, since it is comprised of other funds in the family, they all have expense fees. So I'm wondering, am I stacking fees on top of fees? Maybe I'm better off with just staying with the individual funds and their fees. This is a really good question because all the big fund families have these target date funds. And inside of those funds, it looks like there are other funds. But the reality is that the expense ratio that you cited, 0.24%, is the actual expense ratio for that fund. The issue is the one that you raise, and that is, could you just buy a retirement blend yourself and drop that expense ratio down to maybe 0.05 or 0.1%. The answer is you probably could. You would just look at the funds inside and say, maybe I'll buy some of it bond index, some of the stock index, and call it a day. Now, I don't know what other funds you own, because if you have managed funds, maybe moving into a retirement blended fund would be savings for you anyway. So I need to know a little more information, but just know that when you're looking at a target date fund, the funds inside of it that comprise this target date, it's factored into the total expense ratio. Of course, that means that you could buy those lower cost funds yourself directly and avoid the extra fee, but that's really up to you. It may be worth it for you to just have one fund. Maybe this isn't a huge amount of money. I don't know. We need a few more details. All right, that is it. That's the program. And we are so delighted that you join us every single day. Don't forget, all of our information lives at the JillOnMoney.com website. And if you're nosing around there and you come up with a question, just click the Contact Us button. We'll bring you on the air and you can tell us what's going on and we'll be happy to help you out. You can subscribe to Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen. And don't forget, lift someone up. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Do you wake up in a cold sweat from your work dreams?
Have a coworker who keeps inviting you to do escape rooms?
Can't get a coworker to agree to do escape rooms?
Or are you just genuinely not sure how to take the next step in your career?
I'm Kate.
And I'm Kim. And together we run Amy Poehler's company, Paper Kite Productions.
We've been friends and colleagues for years, so we know how important it is to feel like someone has your back at work.
And we want to be that for you.
So we're hosting a weekly advice show where we answer all your work-related questions.
Something amazing happened. I got offered my dream job.
How am I supposed to bring this up to him without hurting his feelings? What should I do?
I want to skip the pleasantries without being an asshole.
Careful, money and friends, they don't mix, babes.
They don't. And don't work with your friends, make your friends at work.
All right, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but that was actually $1 million advice.
Whether you need advice or just love to listen to other people's problems, this show is for you.
Listen and follow Million Dollar Advice, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.